Hey, Art of Coaching listeners, it's Brett. Listen, whether you're talking coaching, mentoring, education, or any form of helping others, no true leader would ever turn down an opportunity to become a better communicator, right? And surely they wouldn't turn down opportunities to learn from failure. So why is it some only pay lip service to this and instead hide behind their technical skills, topics that come easy to them, or only engage with people that will give them feedback they want to hear? We set out to solve this problem with our apprenticeship communication workshops. They're back on and they're aimed at leaders from every profession who are ready for a new type of challenge. So if you crave diverse feedback, deeper conversations, and high transferability to any work environment, go to artofcoaching.com/apprenticeship. Again, artofcoaching.com/apprenticeship. One more time, artofcoaching.com/apprenticeship to see when a workshop is coming near you or if you want to host. This episode of the Art of Coaching podcast is supported by Momentous. I'm going to be frank. Most supplements are BS. It is such a hype industry where so many people hawk things that do not work. This is why I'm a deep appreciator of Momentous. They go through NSF certifications and they only make things that are practical. I'm a big fan of their grass-fed whey protein, their omega-3, their fish oil, their creatine, all things that have efficacy. I don't get much into the fringe, and you shouldn't either. You can save 15% on anything on Momentous's website by going to livemomentous.com/Brett. Again, that's livemomentous.com/Brett. So whether your father needs to take more fish oil, you know you could benefit from a little bit more protein, or you just need something to help you with sleep, Momentous has you, and you can trust that it has been tested at the highest level of scrutiny through their NSF certifications. So go to livemomentous.com/Brett now.
Check it out. Check it.
Welcome to the Art of Coaching podcast. I'm Brett Bartholomew, and at a young age, poor communication nearly cost me my life. Now, I help others navigate the gray area of social interaction, power dynamics, and communication so they can become more adaptable leaders regardless of their profession, age, or situation. This podcast is for everybody who is fascinated with solving people problems. So if you're the no-nonsense type who appreciates frank conversations, advice you can put to use immediately, and learning how others navigate the messy realities of leadership, you're in the right place. I'm glad that you're joining us. Let's dive in. Hello, nice to have you back. We're going to dive into something today that has been talked about a lot at our recent workshops. And also, we've had a number of you write in about it over the years. I don't know why I haven't gotten to it yet. I think it was just one of those things that got pushed back quite a bit because it always seemed like there were other things that were top of mind for me. But it finally hit a tipping point this past weekend. So we are going to talk about small talk, the good, the bad, the ugly. So if you're somebody that loves small talk, if you're somebody that hates it, we're going to address all of these perspectives. Now, questions we got from this, and of course, I'm paraphrasing, range from, hey, I essentially hate this. Why do I have to do it? I think it's pointless, to, hey, I hate it, but I know I need to do it, but I'd like to be better at it, to, well, I don't have any issue with it at all. I don't understand why other people don't like it. So we're going to hit on a wide variety of aspects of this, give you something practical, talk about why certain people love it, why they don't, if you don't love it, what you can do, the evolutionary aspect of it, the larger purpose that that it functions as, and really give you something to lock into. So, all right, let's get into it. The nerd term for small talk is what's called phatic communication, PH, phatic with a PH. And that is just a technical term that basically discusses, hey, when we engage in small talk, it is not about communicating information, at least directly, but it's more about a social function. Like, we're opening up channels of communication. A lot of people do it to signal a desire to build or maintain social bonds, anything like that. If you're really into words, the root of it comes from the Greek word phatos, which is spoken, or phatikos, which is affirming. Now, that one makes a lot of sense to me. oftentimes people engage in small talk because it's affirming. Hey, is this person really who I thought they were? I don't know. Let's get to know them. Hey, does this person really know their stuff? Or the other way, we engage with somebody else to feel more affirming sense of ourselves. It makes us feel better about us. So it's all about just the use of language for general purposes. For many people, it's not really anything meaningful. But in large part, and because at Art of Coaching, we focus a lot on power dynamics and the psychological and sociological aspects, there is a lot more underneath the surface. So if you feel like you're not good at playing the game, or you've gotten taken advantage of, or you know, you're somebody that's just really direct and you know not engaging in small talk has hurt you, you are going to want to listen up, all right? So let's get through some of the obvious parts. Some think nothing of it and enjoy it because it's embedded in their culture or their upbringing. That's the case for many people across a lot of different countries. People in different regions have wildly different views. There are some parts of the world that if you don't engage in small talk for at least 5 to 10 minutes, you're not going to do business with them and they're not going to do business with you. It would be considered rude to be direct. There are other parts of the world and regions within those parts that view it opposite, right? It's not as easy as saying Western and Eastern cultures. No, there's subcultures. There's how your family views it. There's so many different layers. And that's why we always talk about, if you want to understand social interaction or anything about leadership, you have to have an understanding of just complexity theory. Nothing works in isolation, direct cause and effect, binary, black and white. It is all just this network of interdependencies. And that's why so many of these topics drive people nuts, because they want just a clear way to do things. They want to apply the world of physics to the world of social interaction, and that's not going to be able to happen. So let's talk about people that enjoy it. A lot of times it can just be an opportunity to relax, connect, scratch their itch of their unity drive. If you don't know what I mean by drives, we'll link the description below and we'll also link the episode, but just go to artofcoaching.com/whatdrivesyou. It's a critical test to really understanding a lot of our framework, and it comes from just understanding human nature in general. We want to get around people with similar or even sometimes dissimilar perspectives. We had somebody at our workshop this weekend that just said, you know, I want to challenge some of my beliefs. This is kind of the way I've always thought about things. I'd like to learn another perspective. Awesome. And people that don't like it, well, that's pretty clear too. And I know I can have a range of this. There's parts of me that it just depends where I'm at in the day and the nature of things. But when I'm not looking forward to it or it frustrates me, it can be because sometimes, I favor deep, meaningful conversations. They don't all have to be deep and meaningful, especially after I teach or I've been working a long time. I just need to kind of talk about dumb things, be a little bit more loose, be goofy. But I enjoy having conversations that have a richness to them. And knowing that small talk, at least the way some people handle it by nature, can tend to skim the surface of a lot of social interactions. And that can seem unfulfilling or pointless. So want to be clear, if I'm around my friends or if I know you, I'm going to have times where I just want to act like an idiot, talk about God knows what. There's no agenda. But if I'm, let's say I'm at a conference and somebody's like, oh, do you want to grab a coffee tomorrow? Or do you want to do this? Well, I usually have a lot of things going on, and I know they do too. I'm just talking about my perspective, and I know I'm usually behind on things. So it can be tough for me, unless I haven't seen that person in a while or we're close, to prioritize them over everything else I have, because those things I have to do feed my family, right? And that has to come first. So it always depends there. Some people can view it as inefficient. I know this was the case for the individual that wrote in at artofcoaching.com/question. They said straight up, and I know I'm not a perfect communicator, but it just seems like many people who want to engage in small talk don't even know how to do it well. Some people just seem to want to talk to hear themselves. I don't mind catching up with you. I'm reading from what they wrote in. I don't mind catching up with you. I'd like to get to know you, but please don't go around in a million different circles and let's stick to a topic. Well, that makes a lot of sense too. It's why, and I think I mentioned it on this show before, I remember listening to some Howard Stern interviews, and regardless of what you think of Howard Stern, right, that guy was Joe Rogan or any of these other people, Rich Roll, before they were there. Howard Stern's been doing these things forever. And he talked about, even when it comes to celebrities, it can be tough, people that are media trained essentially, to know who to interview, because not all of them can master this art of, okay, I'm going to tell a story. I might meander a bit, but I'm going to bring it all around to a core point. And he posits that's why a lot of podcasts suck, because most people just don't really know how to find this middle ground of let's talk about this, let's talk about that. Okay, now let's wrap it up in something useful. And I can relate to that. I mean, just do an inventory of some of the things you listen to, and I think you'll find that. Another person still, and I'm mentioning these because I'm one of them you might identify with more than others, is all about the cognitive load. I mean, my mom was visiting recently, and even she said, listen, it's hard. You know, engaging in small talk is hard. You might not know the person well. You're coming from so many different angles. You have things in your head, and it can feel difficult to be able to really generate what you think is an appropriate response and what they think is an appropriate response. Heads up, our only speaker school of the year is coming up on June 1st and June 2nd in Phoenix, Arizona. This is such a unique event. We keep it under 10 people. You get a chance to have a lot of reps and you get a lot of feedback in a judgment-free zone. We mix in a lot of fun. We'd go through everything on slide design, how to present more effectively, how to be more articulate. And it really doesn't matter whether you're trying to actually build a speaking career, continue to scale the one you have, or if you just want to get more confident speaking in front of crowds. We've had people that have came that have done TED Talks. We've had people that come that have social anxiety. It is a very welcoming atmosphere. So if you enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to grow and improve and connect with other like-minded people, and you want a chance to become more articulate, to become more fluent, to improve how you get your message across, do not miss Speaker School. Also, it is a perfect time of year to come to Phoenix. It is always right before it gets way too hot in the summer. You can make a little vacation out of it. You can go hiking. You can go to Sedona. You can go to Scottsdale. There's so much to do. So go to artofcoaching.com/speaker now. That's artofcoaching.com/speaker. Remember, this is our only one of the year. Early bird pricing is still available. We hope to see you there. It's hard, you know, engaging in small talk is hard. You might not know the person well. You're coming from so many different angles. You have things in your head and it can feel difficult to be able to really generate what you think is an appropriate response and what they think is an appropriate response. I like people. This is her talking and I find it mentally taxing. So you don't have to be introverted or anything like that to find social interaction draining at all. It's just sometimes it's hard. And we'll give you tips towards the end of the episode to deal with that. Right now, I'm just trying to see which ones you relate to. Other people still, and we have folks that come to our workshop like this as well. We have people that love people, love communicating, all that. And then we have folks that deal with social anxiety. And that stems from a lot of fears. The fear of being judged. I don't know what to say. I don't want to look stupid. People might think I'm smart. And if I say something dumb, that's going to go away. And that's amplified by the fact that when you engage in small talk, it's not like there's this clear framework. And that goes back to, again, trying to apply Newtonian physics to humans, right? You can't be so reductionist and there's not a lot of certainty. And that can increase social anxiety, of course, because that makes you feel exposed and vulnerable. I don't have social anxiety. But just because I go speak quite a bit, when I travel or when I run a workshop, there's people that kind of want to probe. One thing I get a lot is, are you really who you are in person, how you come across in your podcast online? And it seems like there's this almost kind of emotional scarring or something where maybe people have had a lot of experiences where they've listened to somebody or they interact with them online and then they meet them and it doesn't match up. But that seems to happen a lot. We were talking to our facilitator, Kyle Holland, about this. I said, and he witnessed it firsthand. There was somebody recently that's like, I'm just interested to see if you are who you really say you are. And that was a really fascinating way for me to start an interaction, because here, I don't know anything about this person, but somehow I'm under their microscope. Whereas there's a ton about me out there. I share a lot. So that's an interesting piece too. You don't have to have social anxiety. You might just be in somebody's microscope for whatever reason. So to wrap that up, listener who wrote in as well as recent attendees just alluded to the fact that, you know, they don't like it because it's about being utilitarian. They want interactions to have a purpose. They want it to be rooted in a tangible outcome, whether that's related to a task, work-related, or gaining knowledge, some form of intellectual stimulation, and an emotional connection. I think things that all of us on any level, even if you love small talk, can relate to. At some point, we want a clear value. What we discern as value is going to be subjective. And when we don't have control of that, that can breed reticence to engage in it. And I don't want to engage in something ambiguous or circuitous. I think another thing in the interest of self-disclosure that maybe you can relate to, even when I have a guest on, I think about, okay, I don't know how it's going to go. Or if I call somebody, since our workshops are very interactive, I'll call on somebody. There's a lot of trust there if we're talking about a topic and you call on them because you want them to engage of where they're going to take that. You don't know. Regardless of where you sit on the fence, let's just talk about some of the hard realities because small talk is going to happen. It's got an evolutionary function. And I will state something out of the gate. If you don't engage in it ever, it will bite you in the ass. It just will, because it's a function of the political realities of being a human being. If you're a business owner, you're going to have to engage in some small talk with your clients or your shareholders. Even somebody like Elon Musk, right? He has to do earnings calls. He may not like it. He's going to have to get on there and he's going to have to put in, you know, a few things here and there that maybe make people laugh or provide levity when he'd probably just rather not be on the call and get back to work. You're going to have to deal with it. Coach, leader, manager, mother, father, whatever. So one, we know that it serves as an aspect of, and this is a weird word, but it's per the research, it's social lubricant, right? That eases the pathway into deeper relationships. So one thing I tell people if you hate it is like, listen, you have to understand it's like the foot in the door technique. You may have to put up with 10 minutes or maybe even an hour or an original coffee meetup of low-key BSing or small talk. It doesn't have to be BSing. You know what I mean by that in the context, for that person to really decide if they trust you. And we'll build off this later on. But you know, for a lot of them, they're kind of feeling you out. They're seeing who is this person? Can't, you know, they're not going to let you in. Remember, you're only an expert if somebody invites you into their life as one. To think that somebody's going to let you in and give you great information or give you access to their internal thoughts and feelings without you kind of playing the game a little bit is not always realistic. It can be realistic when you meet somebody else like you, if you're very direct and what have you. But for everybody to think that way is not the case. Right? It's just not. I would never bring somebody on as a business partner or let somebody into a certain part of my life until I've seen how they interact in other environments or talking about other topics. Even when I'm teaching or speaking, much like a comedian will have different pieces of material and not all of them are going to land, but they put them in there to kind of gauge, or how do I put this? They put them in there to guide them since they're in a room filled with uncertainty. I don't know what they're going to laugh at, what kind of audience this is. I use a lot of various examples, some kind of more edgy, and I use that term loosely, but things that you might be like, ooh, is he really going to talk about that? Because I'm trying to check the temperature of the room. Some very safe for people that they don't want the temperature to get too hot. And so I'll pepper in a lot of different things, and I'll even do it on this podcast because they're low-key experiments. And that's how you have to think about it. A lot of small talk is low-key experimentation to see what is this other person about? How are they responding to this information? How are they handling themselves? What are they showing me? What are they showing me? And that's where these casual conversations can oftentimes lead to discovering, you know, common interests or opportunities. There's people that haven't said a word for the first 2 hours of our workshop, and I'll make a dumb dad joke, or I might mention something in history, or I might bring some example up, and all of a sudden it sparks them. Now they're interacting. So you've got to put a lot of little things out there. So small talk can serve as this kind of sonar. And devil's advocate here, for as many people that talk about how important listening is, which it is, it's critical, and we'll talk about that. Listening doesn't really matter if you haven't explored a range of topics, because then anything you've listened to or data that you gathered is in a bit of a vacuum. But we won't go down that rabbit hole yet, right? So you can gauge a lot of different things from it. It can enhance your emotional intelligence because it improves your ability to read social cues, adapt to different social settings. This likely isn't going to change your mind if you hate small talk, and that's fine. But I'm just trying to consolidate a point that part of its evolutionary function within the psychological and social framework that we operate in is within this. One, threat assessment. And this speaks to our security drive, right? Like when you engage in small talk, just think in any point in history, people are not overt in expressing their actual wants and desires. People just often aren't honest. And so when we engage in small talk, there's a lot of little things that may come up, and we're trying to see how this person thinks, how they handle themselves. So it absolutely played a role in threat assessment. Within that is information gathering. That speaks to our inherent achievement drive and security drive. Achievement drive in that you might be engaging with small talk with a subject matter expert, and you just kind of want to hear their thoughts on a wide variety of things. And by engaging with that perspective, you feel wiser as a result, right? So that's why these even seemingly trivial exchanges can serve as means for you to gather a lot of important information about people's sense of self, their status, their intention, and their disposition. I can tell you this, most of the highest level places that I've gone in at as a consultant to or spoken at are people that engage in quite a bit of small talk before they're ever going to reveal anything else. It's just the nature of it. You know, that's the way they build that referent power. There's bonding. There's this unity drive that is a core piece of that. So it is absolutely, as somebody that studies communication strategy and human nature, it is absolutely practical, even if it's painful and you view it as a waste of time. What I'm telling you so far to consolidate is you need to recognize the strategic value. You need to remember that, let's say you have 10 conversations. Sure, 3 or 4 of them might be, oh God, that drove me nuts. But most of the time it is not idle chatter. And you need to be careful because somebody on the other end could be kind of playing the fool to see how you react. I'm not going to get into names, but a good friend of mine does this. He will see how he'll often bring a friend of his to meetings where somebody's pitching them or something like that. They want him to invest. And his friend's got a very different persona, almost acts very aloof, but is incredibly intelligent. And he'll say, I know how they interact with me and also how they interact with my friend, you know, who oftentimes will throw things in there that they may feel like is not relevant or whatever, just kind of, you know, lax and idle chatter. If they can't play all of those sides or they treat them badly, that says a lot to me. So what I'm saying here is people that are very power literate will find ways of sussing you out. And so you can do yourself a real disservice by coming into a conversation and just trying to get to the point, get out of there. That doesn't signify a commitment to a long-term relationship for some of these people. Now, it's okay to have objectives in mind. I can go into a conversation, as can you and anybody else, with, you know, I want to get a sale, or I want to make this person feel better because I genuinely care, or I want to learn more about what's at the base of some of their defensiveness here, whatever that is. Somebody else recently that came to our, what did they come to our brand builder workshop? They're like, I go in, even if I'm trying to get a sale, I always know that there's going to be some small talk. Why wouldn't I want this person to be comfortable with me? But as much as I don't like the small talk, I just remember, like, this is a human. I can identify mutual interest. And at the end of the day, I believe my product will help. So I'm going to sit in the pocket and I'm going to do my damn job. Okay. There's also nothing wrong with it if you want to give it a time limit. The other day I was writing, somebody called that I hadn't talked to in a while, and I didn't necessarily want to talk at that time. Not anything personal to them, but I needed to stay focused. So engaged a little bit, and I could tell that the conversation was going to go on. So I just said, hey, I don't mean to be rude, but I probably only got about 5 more minutes. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I'm just really behind. You'll find that most people take to that fine, and if they don't, well, then that's a boundary, right? You've won. So even when I schedule people on Calendly, if there's a catch-up, that's usually going to be a 15 to 30 minute conversation. And I only allow for that on certain days of the week because I got a job to do. But then when I have that time, I'm going to do it. Same thing when we run a workshop. I know that even if the workshop ends at 4 or 5, there's going to be about an hour of small talk afterwards. And that's part of it. That's a service people are paying me for. So think about that as well. You're in the business of relationships. So when that voice screams inside, just, and I mean this respectfully, tell that voice to grow up. Even if it doesn't come naturally, you just need to know that that's a huge part of it. One way that you can make it a lot easier too, aside from setting those boundaries, is, man, like engage with a lot of different types of information. Every day I wake up, I try to look at things from, it doesn't matter if it's Al Jazeera, which is a news source from the other side of the world, the New York Times. All of these things are incredibly biased and some of them drive me nuts, but I still just try to get topics. I'll look at what's trending in Twitter or I'll Google, and sometimes I lose faith in the human race because of all this stuff. But the point is I have a lot of jump off points. I have a lot of things that if somebody wants to interact or talk about this, I can either be like, well, I don't know much about that. Could you like educate me? And then if it goes on for a little bit, eventually I'll find a connecting point. So, you know, we can talk about it as a social gauge, recognizing its strategic value. But when it comes to practicing and preparing, you know, like a lot of times people hate it just because they're like, well, I feel like I end up talking about the weather, or I end up talking about something that in my own head I know is stupid. Well, you know, part of making it better and taking accountability is coming up with open-ended questions and insight, you know? And you do have to do that. I just want to make, you have to take accountability. You can't just say, small talk's dumb, I'm not going to do it. That's just a closed mindset. So whether you want to shift the topic, whether you, one counterintuitive thing that I know can be uncomfortable is share a bit more about yourself. There are times where I'll have to tell my facilitators this is, you know, if you want the audience to open up, you better be sharing experiences of your own. Share a mistake. Share something. If I'm talking to somebody, you know, it happened this weekend, they were talking about a topic I didn't know that much about. And I said, you know, I've always found that interesting, or at the very least, I've wanted to learn more about it. Can you tell me more about that? And they'll explain it. And I'll say, oh, so is it kind of like this? And the next thing you know, you're off to the races. You're off to the races being able to pinpoint those interests and common ground. So whether you're a parent, we did an episode in the past where a parent was like, I'm having trouble reconnecting with my daughter. You're trying to get a sale, or you're just trying to make sure Barry in HR doesn't hate you. You've got to find at least one or two shared connections. All right. And on the other end of that, here's another practical tip and one that I try to use. There's nothing wrong with holding space. Small talk does not mean you always have to be the one talking. By the nature of my job, I can end up talking a lot because I want to give people value. I'm paid to help people figure out other people and their problems. So I can get really uncomfortable with this idea of like, all right, if I'm not actively engaging in thought, or I'm not sharing an idea or a practical strategy, then something feels wrong. And it's tough because things like this podcast can reinforce that tendency, because obviously I can't just stop talking. I have to make sure to consolidate points, give a lot of examples. But in a real interaction, especially if there's a group, you don't always have to talk. So if you don't know what to say, just take a pause, let other people talk, and then just try to find one thing that you can, hey, Paul, that was a really good point you made about blank. Or, hey, admittedly, one of you said this, sorry if this seems dumb, but I'd love to learn more. Can you give me a better idea of how that works? Right? Those things are great ways to just humanize the interaction. Just humanize the damn thing. Many times I'll ask the audience, I don't know if any of you have experienced something similar, but for me, one time this happened. That invites people in, right? That allows for collaboration to take place. Okay, so let's recap this. Small talk is not idle chatter. It's huge for evaluation, understanding how to influence people, and just overall relationship management, right? It allows you to assess risks, better feel out new acquaintances, people that might be potential collaborators. It is a low stakes way to really observe somebody's demeanor or even their reliability, It's a way to gauge, like, is this person socially agile? Do they seem to care about what I'm talking about? Because man, if we're engaging in small talk and you don't care about this, and you think I'm going to give up great information, nah. And I'm somebody you do have to play the long game with, flat out. You got to play the long game with me because I'm so used to people just, you know, I'm used to takers. I am. And so that I've had to get really adept, or at least more adept. I'm not perfect at it, at reading social cues, adapting my communication style, and being able to just say, okay, you know, what does this person want? And it's funny, somebody recently, when they, the same person, when they met me, when they're like, oh, I'm trying to feel you out, they're like, do you know that I'm assessing you right now? So, of course. Yeah, of course I know you're assessing me right now. Well, does that make you act differently? And they just kind of wanted to go down this rabbit hole. So it's fascinating how people think people are always going to assess you. And there's different things that you can do to make them feel at ease. And so a lot of it is just, hey, sometimes you just need to use small talk to control the flow of information. Sometimes you have to use it to allow other people to feel in control and get over their sense of insecurity, or you know, just feed whatever that is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but you've got to be able to, it's all a matter of establishing trust, a sense of loyalty, and a sense of interest. Not just, you know, if you just use it as a form of information arbitrage, that's going to get found out sometime. That will. And that's just somebody buttering you up, or always being like, oh, you know, you're so smart about this, or I wish I knew about this. Can you tell me if every little thing they say is some kind of form of extraction as a form of, as opposed to a form of disclosure, get your antennas up, right? If somebody's just harvesting, that's not reciprocal influence. That's not a relationship. That's somebody just trying to, and they may, you know, they may deny it. They may be like, oh, well, I just find you interesting. I'm boring. You've got to stop and just say, well, you know, I actually don't perceive you as boring. It seems like you're interested in this. What sparked your fascination in that? Get them talking. It's a really good way to suss it out. It is. All right, what else did I want to touch? Let me look at my notes here. Want to make sure I lock this in. Some people will use it as psychological leverage. Some people will think of it as kind of strategic eavesdropping, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. You know, just if I can leave you with one point, take more accountability. I know it can suck. I know you're busy, but you know that it has a point. You know that there's a reality there that is, it's a strategy. And you might have to have 48 conversations with somebody. And then all of a sudden the 10th one opens up. So, and that's where perspective just matters. That's where, like, sometimes people that really hate it and don't see it as necessary, and I'm not casting aspersions, I'm not talking in absolutes, but there's an argument to be had that maybe you haven't stuck with it long enough to recognize the payoff. And you need to be careful because people might then share, how do I say this? You might gain a reputation for being somebody that's like, well, yeah, if it doesn't benefit them right out of the gate, then they're not going to do it. And you need to be mindful of that, because remember, perception's fluid. You think that you're being direct and just not wasting people's time. They think that you don't care, or you're clearly out for your own benefit and you're not compassionate. Such is the blessing and the burden of being a complex adaptive system. Right? So set small goals, ask 3 open-ended questions, try to learn one new thing about the person, try to make sure you can at least, you know, their name, the name of their significant other or their kid or one hobby, like leverage that achievement drive in yourself to think, how can I do this? And if you do that, you frame it as a skill development opportunity. Now it's not just this like annoying social necessity. It's a skill development opportunity and a way for you to get better and build that relationship. From a hands-on standpoint, if you want that, because I had a note about that as well, surprise, surprise, I'm going to tell you, put yourself in more situations. You can, of course, use role-playing exercises. We've done that with people that hate small talk. I played the role of somebody that just went on and on and on, and my partner had to find a way to direct the conversation, and we played that out 3 different ways. That was a lot of fun. And most importantly, just let go of control sometimes. You know, you don't know where any of these interactions are going to take you. One of my best friends in the world is somebody that didn't tell me anything about them in our first 7 sessions working together. And it was almost annoying how much they asked me and they wouldn't reveal anything. Then one day he calls me for lunch. My wife and I go have lunch with him at this hotel, and it led to one of the deepest friendships of my life. And something that has just created a lot of opportunities for me and him. So play the long game, I guess, is the final part of this episode. If there's anything I omitted, or anything you'd like me to go more in depth on, as always, reach out to us at info@artofcoaching.com. Come hang out with us. I know you're busy. I know you have things going on. We have a lot of cool outputs, or we, at the very least, if you're super busy, we have one-to-one mentoring. It's all virtual. It's very private. Everybody signs an NDA. It's executive coaching. We do this for organizations around the world. We've done it Microsoft, people that work at Apple, people that work for the United States military, people that just work out of their home, moms, dads, whatever. We've worked with teens. We've worked with teens and helped them understand themselves and how to communicate better. So if you want any more information on that, also you can email info@artofcoaching.com. All right. I appreciate all of you. Please rank, review, share the podcast, and we will talk to you next time.